You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
So as I talked to you just a little bit during announcements, we talked about how last week Pastor Gerber walked us through 1 John of the first chapter. Light and fellowship were the themes last week. When we walk in God's light, a few very important things occur: fellowship with one another, serving one another, and finally, generosity toward one another. That's what walking in the light looks like. John tells us that it's impossible to be a follower of Jesus and walk in darkness and not the light. Walking in the light is a wonderful thing. Well, this morning in chapter 3 of 1 John, God's light shines again. It just shines a little differently, and he reveals his light through the Father. Let's take a look at the first verse again. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And so we are. Right here, right now, we are children of God. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But what does that mean exactly? What does that look like? To be children of God. And how does that ultimately work out for us? I'd like to show you a short video clip of my two granddaughters. Eden just turned 2, and Scotty is only 9 months old today. Let's see what being in a family might look like.
I'm gonna catch her hair.
Reality, right? Peace and harmony. Two sisters loving on each other. But at the end, Eden pushes away the love of Scotty. Literally pushes her to the floor. Scotty, the 9-month-old, just wanted to love Eden. That's all she wanted to do. But then Scotty starts getting into Eden's space, doesn't she? And it made her a bit uncomfortable. Eventually, Scotty is pushed away onto the floor. And that's our reality. Being part of God's family right here, right now, it's not perfect, is it? And it's certainly not easy. We tend to push God away when he gets into our space, when he interferes with how we want to live. The now part can be difficult until we finally someday will get to the not yet part of being part of God's family. Now, but not yet. We'll see what John has to say about the not yet a little bit later. For now, we focus on the now part, the part of being called the child of God now. So I have a question for you. Have you ever felt yourself pushing someone away from you? Maybe someone has pushed you away from them. That's very easy to do in the now of our lives. You see, the now of our lives is filled with sin and temptation. The now of our lives has someone prowling around trying to destroy our relationships, particularly with our Christian brothers and sisters. Now, that's someone who's trying to destroy those relationships is real, and his name is Satan. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood or sisterhood throughout the world. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not easy being part of God's family now. It's not easy being a child of God now while we wait for the not yet, because the victory is not yet complete. In the now, we continue to push God away. It's a lot easier to do that. In the now, we continue to sin, and we don't have to look very far in God's Ten Commandments to figure that out. Here's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust God above all things. How's that going for you? Fearing, trusting, loving God above all things. If you're like me, it's a roller coaster. Some days I trust God's will with all my heart and soul. Other days, not so much. Maybe it's really an hourly roller coaster. It doesn't take much for me to look for the world or to the world for love or excitement or pleasure. Satan is powerful, my friends. He wants nothing more than for you to push God out of your lives. He's working on us more than the rest of the world, don't you know? When he sees joy, like when we saw Eden and Scotty playing at the very beginning, playing nicely together, it motivates him to do something about it. He hates when he sees families experiencing joy or peace, security, support for one another. And what about the church? What about this Trinity family? Does Satan want to ruin our joy? Does he want to ruin our peace? Get in the way of our mission here at Trinity to raise up Christ followers in our families, in our homes, in our community? Absolutely. I hear it. I see it. You do too. Satan finds a way to create divisions even among us, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Trinity. Why are they even thinking of doing high school? Well, that happy, clappy music at 10:30 drives me crazy. Those hymns at 6 and 8 are so boring. Why don't the pastors wear robes on Saturday night? Why didn't someone go visit him when he was sick in the hospital? I can't believe they're spending money on that organ again. I can't believe they're spending on new audio-visual equipment. Why wasn't I asked to be on that committee? Why does the pastor need a sabbatical? Don't answer that, you guys. That's not the way we did confirmation. Should I go on? The now can be ugly. Even in the church, sometimes especially in the church, Satan wants it ugly. He desires families to be broken. He desires church families to be broken. But the opposite of brokenness is wholeness. Wholeness is what we have to look forward to on the day of resurrection. The not yet we're just about ready to talk about. The day Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, returns to permanently fix all that has been broken. Broken from sin. The day our souls in heaven will join our new bodies. Because on the day we take our last breath, our souls and our bodies are meant to be together, and there's a tension. And when we take our last breath, our souls go to heaven. And our dead bodies, our flesh, stays here. But on the last day, soul and body together, alive and well. Brokenness, wholeness. It's important, however, that we don't lean too heavily on either one of them. You see, we aren't completely broken. The now is never going to be easy. However, it doesn't mean we just throw our hands up and stop trying. Give in to Satan's lies and temptations and his deceit. You see, with the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's Word, through His sacraments, sin is washed away. The old Adam is drowned daily, needs to be drowned daily, will be drowned daily. Luther put it this way: baptism signifies that the old Adam in us is to be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and perish with all sins and evil lust, and that the new man should daily come forth again and rise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. So yes, good news, right? But did you see the best news at the end? It finally brings us to the not yet part of the message this morning. The part where wholeness is reality on the day of resurrection when Jesus returns to make us whole again. Who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever? There's the not yet. The word shall. John also understood the now but not yet. It's in verse 2 in our reading this morning. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. Not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the not yet is the most amazing promise. The most amazing promise God has ever given His children. The day we will be made whole again. A promise that can be overshadowed by the cross. Let me explain. We spent a lot of time in March and February talking about sin, dying, the cross, the grave, then finally Easter. Christ did not stay dead. If Jesus died and stayed dead, Satan wins, but Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You see, there's only one Good Friday, but every day is Easter. Brothers and sisters, the cross is powerful, but the cross has nothing over the empty tomb. It's a little like the eclipse on Monday. The moon took away the power of the sun for just a little bit. It overshadowed the sun. Between the sun and the moon, which is more powerful? Obviously, the sun. Well, the open tomb has created power that Satan can't compete with, my friends. When Jesus died on that old wooden cross, yes, Satan, he enjoyed a little bit of victory, but it was very short-lived. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The power of his resurrection gives us living, breathing hope in the not yet. But not yet is not here. Not yet. But it will be. The day that Jesus will return in all his glory. So I want you to consider two questions. Are we children of God because of the cross? Or are we children of God because of the open tomb? Now, don't say it out loud. Keep it in your head. Do you have your answer? Here's the answer. Yes and yes. You see, the brokenness of Christ on the cross led to wholeness. It led to our wholeness received through his resurrection, the empty tomb. Without either happening, Satan wins. But they did both happen. But there's still unfinished business. Brokenness needs to be made wholeness again. You and I need to be made whole again. This is the ultimate goal, the ultimate prize. The ultimate prize and the ultimate goal isn't heaven, my brothers and sisters. It's living and breathing, being made new and whole on the last day, the day our Lord will come back to raise our lowly bodies, a day that we will be made new and whole again. The not yet that we all anticipate, a day we wait with all of the saints who have gone before us, a day that has already been put into motion by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as he sits at the right hand of God. As John says in our reading, the day we shall be like him. Yes, the day your brother Jesus, yes, your brother Jesus will claim total victory over sin, death, and Satan forever and ever. Your brother Jesus, who died and rose again to fix your brokenness. Your brother Jesus, who died and rose again to make you whole again, who died so that you can die to sin but live to righteousness. Live to righteousness because he lives. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, amen.